Hello, welcome back to Farmcast. Today we will be discussing implementing the concept of donor economics, a recent idea phrased by Kate Raworth at Oxfam, into the UK farming industry.
In the studio today, you have me, Andrew.
And me, Rebecca.
We will be leading this week's discussion. And as per usual, Emmanuel, our specialist in all things statistics and case studies, is in the field. We will be hearing more from him later.
Today's talk follows on from last week's discussion on planetary boundaries. Don't worry too much if you missed it. The podcast is available on our website as usual. But for now, Emmanuel, can you explain to us the concept of donut economics, please?
Thank you, Rebecca. Donut economics is a framework for sustainable development that combines the concept of planetary boundaries with the complementary concept of social boundaries. This principle derives its name from the shape of a donut, that is, a disc with a hole in the middle. The center hole of the model depicts the proportion of people that lack access to life's essentials, such as healthcare, education, and equity, while the crust represents the ecological ceilings or planetary boundaries that life depends on and must not be overshot. The diagram was developed by Oxford economist Kate Raworth, and the framework was proposed in 2017. The framework was proposed to regard the performance of an economy by the extent to which the needs of people are met without overshooting at its ecological ceiling. The main goal of the new model is to reframe economic problems and set new goals. In this model, an economy is considered prosperous when all 12 social foundations are met without overshooting any of the 9 ecological ceilings. This situation is represented by the area between the two sides of the donut, considered by its creator as the safe and just space for humanity.
As a reminder, the 9 ecological ceilings are derived from planetary boundaries, which we discussed last week, and the 12 social foundations are the minimum aims for quality of life, such as education, health, water, and food security.
Yes, the ecological ceilings within the model include climate change, ocean acidification, chemical pollution, nitrogen and phosphorus loadings, freshwater withdrawals, land conversion, biodiversity loss, air pollution and ozone layer depletion. How would you sum up the main ideas in short, Emmanuel? This sounds like quite a challenging...
Yes, it is complex, but I would say Kate Raworth's aim with this framework is to meet the needs of all within the means of the planet. In short, this idea aims to ensure that no one falls short on life's essentials, whilst also ensuring minimal strain on the environment to not overshoot the ecological ceilings, which are vital for Earth system processes.
Thank you, Emmanuel. We'll hear more from you again shortly. Now to the main topic of today. How can you implement this concept into UK farming, particularly intensive commercial farming? Andrew, can you give us a quick overview on the current state of the farming industry within the UK?
Of course. Well, as we've mentioned before, the utilised agricultural areas continue to increase and now covers 72% of land in the UK. Of this land, total croppable areas rose to 6.1 million hectares, while land used for livestock has remained about the same.
And as wheat has continued to be planted more, there's been a decrease in oilseed rape and sugar beets.
Yes, as more wheat is being planted, hence the increase in croppable area, farmers have been more determined to hold on to livestock, as values have increased in meat, as long as other increases in the value of milk and fruit.
That all seems to follow the trend we expect, but what about the economic side of UK farming?
Well, despite the highest land use of any industry in the UK, farming contributes to less than 1% of national income and only employs 1.5% of the UK population.
Do you think these numbers make for a sustainable industry?
I mean, clearly, as the average income for farmers is still relatively low, it shows there is not enough space for growth in the industry for the workforce as well.
I agree. I'm sure the constant increase in efficiency and technology contributes to this. And you said the value of food is continuing to rise too, despite wages remaining stagnant.
Yes, the value of food and drink exports are still seeing constant increases, up to 2.9% from last year. Emmanuel, do you have any further information on the industry?
Yes, I do, Andrew. One of the main measurements for UK farming by DEFRA is Farm Business Income, otherwise known as FBI. This tells us the financial returns to all unpaid labour to farmers, their families, business partners, and so on. The value varies greatly throughout the UK, with 20% having a negative FBI value and only 28% of farms bringing in over £50,000 per year. This means only a limited amount of farms have the funds to reinvest and attempt to increase efficiency.
Okay, so if we want to decrease our environmental costs while maintaining high crop yields, farms need funds to become more sustainable in line with the donut economic model. So to sum up the farm industry, what are the main strengths and weaknesses?
Well, there are clear strengths of the industry, including the constant need for food, making it a strong economy, in addition to the UK being one of the most fertile areas on the planet. However, the rise in land use for farming has caused conflicts, especially with the pressures of an increasing population, meaning there are challenges for finding land for housing.
So linking this back to donut economics, the ecological ceilings allow the farming industry to set minimal goals on emissions, and through these goals can attempt to increase crop yield per acre.
We are all aware farming emissions are an issue, but apart from general fossil fuels from farming equipment, what are the other contributors to emissions?
Nitrogen and phosphate are the two big contributors for the industry. While these emissions have continued to fall recently, I believe the farming industry can do better.
Sorry, Andrew. You think that despite a 17% decrease since 2000 with nitrous oxide and methane emissions both falling, you still think the industry can decrease further?
Of course I do. I believe that where emissions exist, there's always an ability to reduce them, especially with the concept of donut economics driving incentive to farmers to reduce emissions.
Yeah, I agree to an extent. However, there are clear and obvious challenges that go with that. What do you think about the falling farmland bird index, which is now half the level it was in 1970?
Well, this issue has two sides. While obviously it is bad to be losing farmland biodiversity, most likely due to increased emissions and noise pollution, if we want to increase farmland efficiency, we need technology. But I don't think that losing farmland biodiversity due to increased technology is in line with the donut economics framework.
Yes, increasing technology goes against supporting the framework, as it overshoots the planetary boundary of biodiversity loss. However, we do need technology to have efficient farms, especially with the growing demand for food with an increasing population.
So we should aim to reduce emissions to the safe and just space where we have the highest output with the minimal biodiversity loss. So what does Kate Raworth say about the effects farm has?
Well, she has some interesting notes about farming, predicting that if Europe turned vegetarian, nitrogen pollution will fall by 70%. This is a staggering reduction, which has the potential to really help mitigate being within the phosphorus ecological ceiling, as this threshold has already been crossed.
I believe she also points out that the UK imports 2/3 of the water it uses, mainly for agricultural use, and some of this comes from countries with water scarcity issues. This clearly falls short of the social foundation of water access. But back to your point, I don't believe turning the whole of Europe vegetarian is possible. While shifting social norms around vegetarianism can be done and would help solve some of these issues.
I agree, but I also think that the UK should hold itself more responsible for better water use. We have the ability to use our water at a more sustainable rate to allow other countries to develop using their own water.
Well, currently the idea of donut economics has not been implemented into the UK farming, but there has been the concept of planetary boundaries.
It is time the farming industry incorporates both social and environmental issues to create a sustainable framework which works towards the needs of all.
So why do you think donut economics should be implemented to farmers?
Donut economics should be implemented to UK agricultural framework for a sustainable future. National, commercial and intensive farming poses a great challenge to numerous planetary boundaries within the donut concept, including climate change, ocean acidification, nitrogen and phosphorus cycle, chemical pollution, change in land, and biodiversity loss.
I guess the adoption of Raworth's model will work towards meeting the core needs of all, but also work within the means of the planet through adjusting our agricultural practices.
Current human practices are causing adverse impacts on our ability to produce food and the availability of fresh water, with the phosphorus cycle planetary boundary having been crossed, which has a great impact upon crop yield success. And if yield decreases, this will have a negative impact upon farmers' livelihoods, as their income will vastly reduce with poor crop quality.
It's very interesting. Emmanuel, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, as said before, with 72% of UK land currently used by farmers for food production, our country has crossed the biodiversity loss boundary by 55%, measured by the decline of farmland birds. 250% in terms of land use change as a result of increasing monocultures, and 410% in terms of climate change. The UK's impact upon ecological ceilings is far beyond what our population can justify. There is no need for factory farms, chemicals, or genetically modified seeds to feed a growing population when there are alternative sustainable strategies available. The UK needs to improve the ways we produce food in line with donut economics to cut further emissions, restore soils, and protect local ecosystems whilst ensuring social standards are met.
Wow, those figures really show that our current practices are not working within a donut framework. I believe immediate action is required to really attempt to solve these issues.
I agree with you. Change is urgently needed to reduce our effect upon the planet, whilst also thinking about the social aspects. Donut economics does seem to be the best framework to use, but do you think that incorporating the concept into UK farming is really a feasible idea?
Well, Raworth's model provides a framework for agriculture to thrive in balance with the planet, whilst meeting the needs of the farmers. Our population size suggests that we should be well within these limits, yet this is just not the case. And despite us exceeding environmental limits, we are also not meeting the needs of farmers, for their average income is around £47,000, which requires non-stop labour to achieve this.
That's very interesting. Do you know any other information on farmers' income?
Well, don't get me started. The gender difference between male and female farmers is around £8,000, a ridiculous difference which can be addressed within the model in terms of meeting gender equality standards. This shouldn't even be a question. Anyway, before I go off on a tangent, back to the discussion.
I agree with the gender pay difference as a clear issue, but in regard to donut economics, this sounds not only like a major challenge, but also an expensive one. Would the cost of implementing such a framework be justifiable?
Well, the idea of trying to change the UK agricultural industry will be vast. However, any cost to sustain the environment and not exceed the ecological ceiling is always justifiable. The preservation of sustainable arable land is vital for future generations. If we don't do anything now, the likelihood of continued climate change and social degradation will cause future catastrophe within UK agriculture. Also, we have looming things like Brexit to be additionally concerned about.
So clearly, this is a major challenge for the farming industry. But there are examples of sustainable farming practices that fit within the framework. One such example is agroforestry, which involves adding trees to farming systems to make them more productive at no cost to the farmer.
Yes, I've heard agroforestry provides a huge range of ecosystem services, as well as sequestering excessive carbon dioxide from the atmosphere, which helps to maintain levels within ecological ceilings and increasing crop yields, both benefiting the planet and the farmer.
So it's a win-win, the best case scenario. Do you know of any other examples of sustainable strategies?
Well, a local initiative called FarmEd has introduced regenerative agriculture to the Cotswolds, which is based on principles and practices that increase biodiversity, build better soils, improve water catchment, and enhance nutrient cycling, whilst also including the farmer and families. The ultimate goal is to reverse the effects of climate change. Success can also bring increased yields, lower input costs, resilience to climate instability, and healthier livestock. This is diverse and circular and should be considered as a technique within donut economics, for it works with the farmers for a sustainable lifestyle and environment.
That is a very interesting example and clearly shows the concept can be implemented with minimal cost to the farmer.
Yes, they are small-scale examples which have the potential to be implemented to a larger degree. However, that said, this poses the challenge of land use change and trying to work out how Raworth's theory can be used to solve this issue. Emmanuel, I believe you have a view on this.
Land use change is arguably the most pervasive socio-economic force driving changes and degradation of ecosystems due to change of the Earth's landscape. Intensive farming can cause water pollution from fertilizer runoff, polluting both inland and coastal waters, as well as deforestation, significantly contributing to wildlife and habitat destruction. Donut economics can introduce a change in attitude amongst farmers to preserve land and adopt strategies to limit further destruction. A study in 2019 by Aznar and others suggests strategies such as assessed agronomy, sustainable water management for irrigation, analysis of changes in land use, and new forms of management, such as organic farming, permaculture, and multifunctional systems, will work towards keeping the planet beneath the critical thresholds, whilst also providing the population with resources.
Those are really good points, Emmanuel. I can see how this idea links to the social foundations as well, because clearly, for example, through sustainable water management, we can reduce exploitation of water from water-scarce areas, thus improving health and water access.
Those are all great points, but we're forgetting something. Will farmers actually be willing to involve themselves and adjust their practices to incorporate donut economics?
Well, DEFRA has attempted to promote long-term positive behaviour change in land managers, with a particular focus on environmental behaviour with respect to soils, water and waste. But the extent to which the farmers will be willing to change will likely depend on their ability and their belief that they will be able to make a profit both from their crops and with these changes.
Sorry to interrupt, but do you think we can really expect to put this responsibility of changing agricultural practices upon individual farmers collectively? Or does the framework need to be implemented in government policy?
Clearly, we cannot put all the responsibility on the farmers themselves. It needs to be government-led to establish some framework to follow, thus giving the farmers not only an aim, but some incentive to reduce their environmental impact.
Yes, these farmers still have families and responsibilities to take care for. By asking them to change their techniques without any form of leadership, bearing in mind the number of farmers with a negative FBI, we cannot expect them to alter their traditional practices to more sustainable ones without some kind of monetary incentive. This might only work to take a top-down approach.
Well, let's not forget that two-thirds of farms in the UK are still private, and they might not be too keen to have a government top-down approach telling them which techniques they can and cannot use, especially those who are making what small income they can to support their families.
However, for the sake of the Earth's future, I believe there is no harm in trying to change behaviour, especially seeing the framework incorporates the needs of society too and doesn't take a selfish viewpoint. This may mean a mixed methods approach is the best solution to solve problems within the UK agricultural sector.
So it is possible to implement, but it would need the right technique to ensure that farmers are willing to adapt and will adapt enough to better the environmental situation.
So, we're running out of time here, so as usual, our summary of this week's topic of donut economics.
Donut economics is a framework for a safe and just space where we can live between ecological ceilings and social foundations.
We believe the UK farming industry can use this framework because of its large land use and unjust treatment of farmers, such as low pay.
The industry is not only strong, but also long-lasting, so it is in need of a sustainable tactic, in our view, the best of which being donut economics.
A major concern is our breach of the nitrogen and phosphorus ceiling, which farming has had a great influence upon. This is followed up by the social breach of water security that UK farming is causing in water-scarce countries.
We have seen through techniques of agroforestry and regenerative agriculture that sustainable practices in line with donut economics are not only possible, but also benefiting both the environment and the farmer.
Yes, but this also poses the challenge of increased land use change through making space for more sustainable alternatives, whilst the population continues to rise.
The final great challenge is working out how this concept can be implemented by the farmers themselves. Clearly, the pressure cannot be all on them, so the government must help with this plan.
We hope our listeners have gained some insight into Kate Raworth's donut economics framework and how this should and can be incorporated into the UK farming sector.
We would like to thank all of our valued listeners. This podcast will be available on our website later tonight.
We would like to thank Emmanuel for providing his expertise on the topic, and it is a goodbye from us. Stay tuned for next week, where we will be discussing how political ecology relates to farming. Or does it?
Thank you all for listening to Farmcast.
See you next week.